Good afternoon, saints. I always find it a privilege to stand before the church, before the congregation, and speak. It's not because of anything I've done, but just because I've been appointed. So can I ask you to please close your eyes and pray with me? Most kind and heavenly loving Father, the one that we call Lord and Saviour, we haven't done anything deserving to be able to be here right now, to be able to fellowship with other believers. We just ask that you blot out our transgressions, that you be seen in this place, that you are felt in this place, that you invoke our spirits, that you warm our hearts and you open our hearts to hear from you. Use me, Lord, to this end, and let it not be about me, because nothing is about me. Let everything be about you, because you are Lord. This is my humble prayer in the name of Yehoshua the Messiah. Amen. Good afternoon once more. And now, I know that you probably know, so please forgive me if I move around a little because I find it hard to kind of stay in the same spot. I don't think I was a hyperactive child, but I just get bored. And when people are preaching, I sometimes zone out. And so for me, it just comes, it's part of my nature to just start moving. So anyhow, this morning is actually Family Month that we are going to be thinking about and reflecting on. And I just want to thank Anthea and Leon and the beautiful praise team for the beautiful songs for warming our hearts. And I want to thank my beautiful family for being here with me. They're looking going, Anyhow, I think maybe they were coerced into being here a little. I think, am I too loud? Okay, all right, just checking because we don't, I don't want to make anybody go deaf. All right, so, that just happens itself from me turning up the TV too loud. And so anyhow, thinking about Family Month, I just have to say I'm so grateful. I'm grateful, Elder Paul and Sister Yvonne, for you starting Family Month and for your family ministry. I have been richly blessed by Family Month. I've had so many good teachings in the past. And so please don't put down the baton or hand it over just yet because we're not ready. All right? And so I've gone down into the Word this week. Now, I don't know about you, but recently I have been struggling. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been struggling in my family. I have beautiful family with me, and they're grinning because they know. But I have been mean-spirited. I have been horrid. I have been upset. And we've had, I don't know if it's generational bondage or if it's just torment. I'm telling you, torment. For 17 years, I'm telling you. And this is something that has literally only just began to resolve itself. And so if you've seen me bawling, it's not because I'm bawling because I'm upset. It's I'm bawling because I can't believe how good God is, how amazing he is. When you are praying about something and you're praying for so many years and then you start seeing it materialize in front of you and you say, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Nothing. And so, I want to thank you for being here with us as a family this morning and afternoon. I know there are some very special people who've come to be with us as a church family. I know we have people from Miami. Where are you? Who's from Miami? They've gone. Ay, ay, ay. It wasn't hot enough in here. We need to turn up the heat. All right, so and I know people are coming from other places, from Watford. So let me, today is not about me. It really isn't about me. I've fasted for a few days this week. I did an absolute fast. And so I thank you, my church elders, for encouraging me to fast, because I tell you, some things only happen through fasting. And so I cannot thank you enough for that godly wisdom that you've bestowed and for the love that you've been giving me and the support. So my church sisters, you know who you are. I'm so grateful. All right, so let's go down into the Word. If it's okay with you, we're going to go down into it. And if you look like you're going to fall asleep, then we'll stop. All right, or just say, sister, put your hand up and just say, Jesus is Lord and he's enough. Stop. All right, so this morning, I'm going to use the PowerPoint if that's okay. We are going to look at the book of Titus, because in going down into the word, there are some things that I've read in Titus that have jumped out at me that I want to share with you. But before we do, let's think about the fact that we are families. Okay, now, never mind. Maybe somebody from the AV will come and help us at some point. That's what you've got husbands for, right? Isn't that handy? They're like, help you out. They try to rescue you, but it doesn't always work. Never mind. So anyhow, thank you, Elder Paul. All right, so this morning, I'm going to tell you about a few statistics that I found out. I have been looking at something. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Betty. It's working. Oh, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about the Office of National Statistics. Now, maybe you're not into this kind of thing, but every year, the government actually has a special office of, you know, where there are civil servants that do lots of research about trends and things. And this is what is going on in the UK. According to the ONS in 2019, there are about 19.2 million families living in the UK. And actually, this is an increase from, you know, the last 10 years. In the last 10 years, things have changed, but there are some things that are very specific and significant going on with our families. Do you know that lone parent families are actually on the increase? And in London, we have the highest number of lone parent families. Nearly 20% of our families are lone parent. And do you know that over the last 20 years, I don't know what you would call them, apart from single people living alone has grown by a fifth. Some of you can maybe relate to that. Maybe some of you had families that were with you, and for whichever circumstances, they're not around anymore, or just through time, people aren't around and it's just you. Well, let me tell you, you have a family and we are it. You're part of God's family. Okay, now, despite the fact that families are actually growing in the UK, there is something that's quite significant and shocking in the UK. The UK is actually a world leader in family breakdown. Yeah, you think, really? Seriously? Like, isn't this a land that is flowing with, like, all things? Not milk and honey, but all things? Well, actually, we don't actually know the repercussions of this, but according to a study by the think tank Centre for Social Justice, in Britain, our families have about 2/3 of children who are actually living with both parents. So, you know, a lot of our families are not actually thriving in the way that God designed. So let's think about some modern day families that we see. Now, please excuse me if you don't like popular culture. I can't help it. I'm really not that old, just a little bit old. And so I'm into popular culture. Now, if you think about families, if I said to you guys, oh, name me some families, what families have you seen on the TV? If it was like this day and age, you might say you've seen the Kardashians. You've been watching them on the TV since about 2007. Most young people, if I said, even the little kids, name one of their names, they could probably tell me, Gracie, have you seen them before? You see, Gracie's told me she's seen them before. Okay, now if I went back to, circa 2008 and we were thinking about the noughties, you'd be like, ooh, the Obamas, they look so beautiful. Aren't they the ideal black family in America? They do look good and, we're happy for their achievements. But that would be a family that we think about, right? But if we went back a little bit more, we went to the 90s, if you were like me and you like The Running Man, you'd probably think about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and the Banks family. And you'd be like shaking your head like this, like, and you're going, it's not unusual. But that is the story of families, okay, from the 90s. So please forgive me, senior citizens or those who don't have any context. I'm just breaking it down because this is what I relate to. And if you went back even earlier, you'd probably think from the 1980s, oh, I see, even the little kids are going, we recognize this family. You'd know the Simpsons. Yep, Jesse's got his hand up. He goes, I know them. Now, in the family of the Simpsons, They've got an extended family, actually, but there are some people who are very important. There is Homer and his wife, Marge. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Homer is a very interesting guy, but he's also quite self-centered. All he thinks about is donuts, and he goes, "Ooh, donuts." The kids are laughing because they know. Okay, now Homer isn't bothered about whether or not his family are going to eat. He's not bothered about whether he's gone to work. He's not bothered about... He works as an engineer. Well, I think he's an engineer, but it's a bit of like a safety inspector in Springfield's nuclear power plant. And he really isn't bothered if stuff's even working. He's quite soft-natured at the heart of it, even though he kind of wants to wring his kid's neck. Actually, he does care. He goes, "Ah," every now and again. But Marge is his wife, and she's his counterpart. She's his sidekick. And Marge is actually quite forgiving. She always seeks to help somebody. She's always nurturing, and she tries to give advice. And she's really quite caring. When we look at Marge, we go, "Man, we wish we could be like Marge." You know, well, I don't know about... Maybe not. Maybe that's taking it one step too far. But we look at some of her characteristics, and we just go, "Oh, you know, she's good. Because if my kid behaved like that, I'd beat him." Now, then there's also Lisa. Now, Lisa's really creative. She's really kind of eccentric. She's a little bit different. She's not afraid to be by herself. She'll go up in her room and she'll study. She's really pragmatic and practical. She thinks things through, and she's not really rash. But then you've got her mischievous younger brother, Bart. Now, Bart, what can we say about him? Bart is like, ay, 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 he is that 10-year-old prankster. He's a troublemaker. He gets on people's nerves. But actually, he's still valued as a member of the family. And one thing that really sticks out about The Simpsons is that they still stick together. So maybe, you know, you can even find some similarities between you and one of these characters. Now, when it comes to family, these guys are people who actually have extended family. They like to do things together. They like to actually sing together, go places together, go for drives in the car and go, "Whoa!" And they even go to church together. You know, what you don't see is you don't see them, you don't see Bart and Lisa sitting down on their phones for 3.4 hours a day. You don't see them using TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. What you see them doing is usually just having some, like, good old times together. And you even see them, having dinner and things. But there is something that's really important. They go to church. They go to a Protestant church. And I'll be honest, sorry, my dear, in saying that I don't really remember the name of the church that I go to, but I know that it's a church that comes from Protestantism. And so somebody like Martin Luther would be really important in their church. And the reverend that you can see up here is Reverend Lovejoy. And, you know, I kind of think to myself, if Reverend Lovejoy was going to preach to them and he was going to speak to the Simpsons family when they go to church, what would he say? What message would he have for Bart? What message would he have for Marge? What would he say to Lisa? And I think that what he would do, because they're into the great, Protestant tradition, is I think he would probably go to something that, that Martin Luther really, really, really has emphasized in his writing. If you don't know who Martin Luther is, I can tell you a little bit later, but he's quite significant and important for starting what we call the Reformation, where we don't follow the Catholic Church and indulgences. So anyhow, let me tell you a little bit about what Martin Luther has to say about a really special letter in the Bible. It says, this is Martin Luther talking about the book of Titus. He says, this little epistle is composed in such a masterly manner that it contains all that is needful for Christian knowledge and life. And so, if you guys don't know, I want you to get to know. I want you to turn to the book of Titus in your Bibles. It's just after Timothy, and it's in the New Testament, and just before Philemon. is the book of Titus, and it's not very long. There's only 3 chapters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Titus. But I tell you, like Martin Luther says, it is packed with so much knowledge, knowledge that we can use for life. It's amazing. And so I hope that you will permit me to just break down a little bit of that with you today. So I'm going to read from Titus chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. And it reads, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And I'm going to end there. Now, I don't know if you noticed, if you caught this with me, but in that little, in that little section of this epistle, this is a letter, by the way, that Paul has written, because he wants to give his good friend Titus some sound advice. What he's saying, okay, in that chapter 2, is he's saying, here's some advice, if you like, for older men. So here is some advice. If it was Homer and Reverend Lovejoy was talking, he'd say, this is what you need to say to Homer. And he's saying, here's some advice for older women. So this is what you need to say to Marge. And here's some advice for younger women. So, you know, Lisa's going to grow up and she's going to get big. She's going to be looking for her husband herself. He's saying, this is what you need to say to Lisa. And here's some advice for younger men. This is what you need to say to Bart. Okay, now, this is what it was. So let's revisit it and let's break it down a little bit. So, it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, so it says that the aged men be sober, be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Now, I'm not sure about yourselves, but I don't know if there are times where even as men or older men, you just get vexed, you get so angry, you just want to lose the plot. Maybe your kids are acting up. Maybe they're not acting how you expect. Maybe somebody comes to you and they say something to you and you just think, and because you've lived life and you've seen certain things, you kind of get into your own way, your own thought processes of doing things. But here is what this little letter says to you. It says, be grave. Do you know what grave is? Grave is honorable. That's what it is. You know, grave is actually a word that means, you know, like, to basically, you know, be really decent. And it says to be temperate, be self-controlled, and be sound in faith, in charity. That means with brotherly love. So when your kid is doing some madness and your child is telling you, I'm not doing that, you can't tell me. Or if someone, you know, maybe forgive me if I say this and it's wrong. Maybe someone in church is just, ignoring you. What do? Get vexed and get haughty and get puffed up and get angry and then just go, these people are too foolish. You know, and then you just walk off and get angry. That's not what it's about. It says have self-control. And it talks about constancy, you know, and having patience. Do we endure when we come to church, you know, or even in our families? Are we patient with one another truly? When we're talking, do we just cut the sentences? You're like, but, and you're stopped. You haven't even got all of your words out good, and the person's already talking over you. And so you just go, oh, you know, maybe they'll listen next time. You know, maybe family, this makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but maybe this is actually because it speaks to our heart and this is how we behave. I can't stand before you as a child of God and tell you that I'm not like this. So get this. In Titus chapter 2, okay, in verse 3, this is the actual the words that, you know, Reverend Lovejoy would speak to Marge. He'd say, the aged woman, he says, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, I come from a West Indian family. I'm half Jamaican and half Indian. And my mum has said, them none have, they, well, I can't even say it. My patois is shameful. She says something like, they haven't got any behavior, but I can't say it very well. Like, he says something like, them none have no behavior, something along those lines. I know Shelley's shaking her head. She's so embarrassed. She's like, there's no Jamaican in you, Shelley. Shelley, maybe one day. I can understand the patois. I just don't speak it very well. This is the thing. Sometimes, you know, I found when, even when I've been in Jamaica, even when I've been here, people will say something and they have this word that they call brawling. They carry on, they say brawling, where they're just loud and they just get on and they go on and on and on. And you're like, ay, 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 please. And they just storm off and they stomp their feet and they kiss their teeth and they move their hand. You know, this is how some people behave. This, my friends, is not of the behavior that we are admonished to have as children of God. And then it goes on to say this. So, if Marge, had to hear some more from Lovejoy, it would say, don't be a false accuser. Do you know, sometimes we actually judge people before they've even got through the door. You see their big old nose ring in their nose, and you go, yes, them like to go to a party. Sorry, excuse me, do you know if they even go to parties? And if they do go to parties, that's up to them. You want to tell them about the love of Jesus, you know? And, you know, sometimes we say, oh, you do this and you do that. How do you know? Have you sat down and asked them? So-and-so is living with so-and-so. They must be doing a little something. Now, we don't need to say what that is because the children don't need to know. But this is a thing. We are accusers, false accusers. We get things wrong. Why do we do that? Why? Only because, you know, we don't always walk in accordance to the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says that we should walk in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in us, saints, these things are not for us to judge and to inspect because we are not the judge. Let's keep going. It says, not giving to too much wine, teachers of good things. Do you know, older women, you have so much knowledge. You are fountains of knowledge. You have lived life and you've experienced things and you can teach us things. I'm grateful, actually, to Anthea's mum. She doesn't even know this because I didn't have a conversation with her. But I was telling her, like, I'm struggling. I'm a younger mum. But, like, my child doesn't want to get up easily. I'm sorry to embarrass you because you just talk how it is. He's saying, like, you know, church is really not making him happy. I'm just grateful that he's here right now. And I said, Sister Davis, what do you do when you've raised this child? You love him. He's so precious. And he's telling you what you've told me. I'm not really interested in it, you know. He goes, that might be you, but it's not for me. And you know in your heart of hearts, that child is a good boy. That child loves the Lord. That child knows that God has blessed him and he's brought him through so many situations. He has blessed him to get a good education, to eat, Yeah, your parents don't drive a Mercedes, but that's not the be-all and end-all, because eyes have not seen, nor ears have not heard what the Lord is preparing for us. And, you know, and when that child turns around and is just like, I'm sorry, you know, because, you know, I know you're a good boy, and I know you love your mummy and your family, but, you know, what do? You turn around to the older mothers and you say, I don't know what to do with my child. And they say, listen, it's not for you. They say, get on your knees. I used to leave mine. I used to leave him, and he used to turn up late, and he used to just stand outside, and I used to see him. And whenever I see him, they said, put him back, give him back to God, and say, Lord, he is yours. Do what you will and have your way. And so, you know, I'm grateful for our older mothers, because I'm sitting there fretting and bawling and going, no, what am I going to do? Actually, the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And, you know, if that child chooses to go whichever way he's going to go, then I pray that I've done enough and I've sown enough to train up that child so that when he's old, he doesn't depart from it. Amen, amen to that. And so what would, this little epistle have to say to our younger women? To get this, in Titus chapter, let me just go back. Oh, Titus 4, sorry, I just lost my way. It says, older women, now, remember, this is to you. It says that they may teach the younger women. So, teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Do you know, older women, sometimes your husbands have been spicy. They say some things to you, and you think, really? Did I sign up for this? Seriously? And, you know, and actually, the older women, when you go to them, they can say, daughter, just wipe off your face, go in the bathroom, pray to God, and come back out and get on with it. Yeah? And like, you know, and they say to you, this child, you know, don't worry, don't carry on like that, don't beat him, don't argue with him, don't go into it with him. No, leave the child and let him be, and you go in your room and make them knees of yours black. Okay, so this is what the older mothers have to say to the younger mothers, well, the younger women even. And it goes on in verse 5, it says to be discreet. You know, if the man isn't doing what you would expect him to do, don't go nying, 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 every minute in his head, nying, nying, nying. No, no, no. Maybe you might say something else. Maybe you might say, dear, have you thought about what we could do if we did put that £140 into something else? And you're laughing because you know you've been there. You've been through it. You know, ladies, our younger women, we want to be chaste. Now, the word chaste might be a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm going to talk it how it is, because I don't think I'm that old. When you are in Christ, you're pure. You don't want to be running up and down with this man and that man. It's like having an iPad. If you get a brand new iPad, you want to actually go on it, download the apps yourself, figure it out. I love my iPad. I can't find it at the moment because I tried to hide it before I went on holiday, and I don't know where it's gone. But this is the thing. I love it. I just love it so much. If you get something new, and it's great, you want to explore it, you want to get into it, you want to work it out, it's just me and my iPad. Now, when it comes to our younger women, you don't want to go around and have somebody explore your iPad, and you explore it here, and explore it there, and explore it everywhere. No, 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 no. You don't want a second-hand iPad. You want an iPad that's brand new, that's fresh. You want to take it out of the box. You want to just take your time with the iPad. You know what I'm on about, okay? We don't have to say anything more other than that. Let the iPad just, be unboxed slowly. Simple, simple as that. And so we want to be chaste, young women. Whether it makes you uncomfortable, where you go, or not, you know, we have to talk it, because we don't talk about these things. We stand here in church and we say, Jesus saves. But how about our practical living as Christians? This little epistle can tell us so many things about knowledge and life. So let's keep getting into it. It says, to be keepers at home. Now, I heard from a psychologist, I don't know if it was like John Gottman or someone who had done a study, that actually men quite like it when your home is tidy. They like it for some reason. They like order. I don't really understand it because my brain is like spaghetti, I think he says. I don't know if it's him. I can think about so many things at once. I can talk about the iPad, then I'll switch to Barbie, and then I'm gone on to the Epistle of Titus, and I'm back to something else, all within 60 seconds. But the man now, if he's thinking about Titus, he's thinking about Titus. And so when it comes to the home, it needs to be orderly. It tells us here to make sure that we're keepers at home. We're not just keeping it in order, but we're keeping our family together, to be good, to be obedient to their husbands. Now, I know some women have an issue with this word obedient. And they think, oh, really? To be subject to somebody else? To be under somebody? No. Saints, in Genesis, it tells us that, Adam was put to sleep and God took a rib from his side. We're not the behind chick or the side dish. We are the side chick because we walk hand in hand, side by side with our husbands. And, it actually, when you think about what it really meant to be obedient. In the Greek military, it meant to arrange your troops into divisions in a military fashion under the commander of a leader. And it was a voluntary attitude of giving, of cooperating, of assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. When we are obedient to somebody, we carry the burden with them. We're not, they're not authoritarian. They're not dictators. They're somebody actually that if they're walking in Christ and they are wise and they're wise and they have the Spirit of God, we can walk hand in hand, side by side with them and not just think that we are right. We can be in the Spirit of God side by side. And it goes on to say that the word of God be not blasphemed. If I'm going to tell you that I'm a child of God and I come to church on Sabbath, but then I go to school and I go, the foolish boy, look at him. And I carry on and I start cursing and behaving bad, or I go to a board meeting and then I just behave bad, am I not going to show up the gospel? Are you not going to turn around and go, really? I saw her when she was in Tesco. I heard her cussing. You should have heard the words she said when she wasn't standing on that platform. You hear all manner of foolish come out of her mouth. People, this is not representative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me move on swiftly, because I don't believe in preaching long. We want to get this, and we want to get it, we want to take it, and we want to meditate and just devour it and take it in. Okay, now, let's think about and go back to Bart. So if we wanted to say something to our younger boys, we'd go to Titus chapter 2 to verse 7 and 8. And let's hear what it says. It says to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. So, when your older people come to you and they're going to say something to you, young boys, and you think, you're just not right about that, you're not going to turn around and be rank. You're actually going to remember how your parents taught you. In the book of 2 Timothy, I think it is, it says there how, Timothy was actually taught by his grandmother and his mother. And so we're going to turn around. We're going to have that speech that's fitting for heaven. It says that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Do you know that when you actually do the right thing, when someone else is acting up, but you turn around and you season it with grace, and you season it with everything nice, sugars and spice, do you know the person ends up looking foolish? They actually end up looking embarrassed. They even feel it inside that, I didn't behave quite right. Season it, heavenly saints. And then it goes on to tell us, having no evil thing to say of you. Do you know that when you carry your head high, how your parents have taught you from 2 Timothy or your grandma, your granddad, or whoever else, you can carry your head high. But the question is, why? Why would we want to do all these things? Or why would Reverend Lovejoy give this information to Homer and to Marge and to Bart and to Lisa? And I'm going to tell you why. It's because Because the Lord is good. It's because, saints, that in verse 11 it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. So it's not as if this is just for anybody. This is for all of us. God's grace. This is something that's unmerited, that we don't deserve. We, saints of God, have been extended something that is so beautiful that we can't even imagine. And in verse 14, it says, in fact, let me go to verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You know, God has selected us to be so different to how other people are and how they behave. He selected us that he could take us out. We could handpick people right now from this congregation and say, you are peculiar. You're not like the rest. And that is how he wants us to be. And you know why? It's because, you know, in doing that, we represent him because he's our Lord and Savior who gave his life as a ransom for many. And then let me just take you through one little thing that I think is significant. And thank you very much, Mum, for reading that for me, okay? It's in Titus chapter 3 from verse 4. It says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Saints, when we're actually, because of God's kindness, because of his love for us, because he actually sent his Son into the world that all might be saved, you know, he has given us the ability not to work our way to heaven from keeping the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath because we love the Lord and we recognize how good he is. You know, we do things and we keep the commands because of his goodness towards us, because of the mercy that he has shown us, and because he has enabled us to be new and be transformed. Have you ever, been in a situation where something could have just taken you out? It could have left you literally messed up. You could have gone crazy in your mind. I'm sure many of us have had situations that made us feel like that. But actually, we went through it, and actually, sometimes we've even spoken to God. Or maybe for some of us, we haven't even got to that stage where we talk to God. But it shaped us, and it actually changed us, and it made us new. We can be transformed. Now, when I was little, I used to like He-Man and She-Ra, and I used to like the Transformers, and I used to find it fascinating that you could actually go from being a car to like a super robot, cyber galactic entity. Now, that's who we are. We can be driving along like cars, just ambling along, taking in the view, and stuff happens. But actually, when we call on God, and when we say, not by might, nor by power, but basically by him and by his spirit, we become superhuman, supernatural, supergalactic. Can you just tell me what the name of one of the Transformers, because I've forgotten?
Optimus Prime.
I can't hear.
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime, is he good or bad?
Good.
Good, okay. So we can be like the equivalent of Optimus Prime. And what colour is Optimus Prime? Is he yellow?
Red and blue.
Red and blue. We can be actually, you know, like red. You know what? It reminds us of the blood that was shed on Calvary. And blue, we can be dipped in that water and be renewed. Saints, we can be like the Optimus Prime version here on earth. We can be greater than anything that there ever is and ever was. All we have to do is actually be transformed. So get this. It says in Titus chapter 3, verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you know, when you're an heir to something, it means that you receive it. You get what is allotted to you. Now, my mom's only got me and she's got Matisse. And so apparently she says we're going to inherit a house. And I'm just like, I'm not waiting on anything. Mom, I don't want you to go anytime soon, okay? Just be right with God and whatever happens, it happens, okay? But I'm not looking to take your money. But do you know something? Apparently, you know, she says to me, you know what? It's not even going to you. It's going to go to Matisse. Have you heard that? Yeah, she said that. Yeah, he's laughing, but it's true. I've heard you say that. It's going to Matisse. This is the thing. What should have been Jesus's, okay, it's allotted to us. Do you mean that means that we weren't supposed to be able to live in a mansion, be in a land that flows with milk and honey, be able to just walk and talk with God just like that? But because of Jesus, we are heirs. It's given to us. We don't even deserve it. Now, apparently, I probably don't even deserve to inherit the house. I'm not even bothered because you know why? Obviously, I love you. It doesn't even matter anyway. But I'm actually looking to inherit that new heaven and new earth. And when the earth is made new, I want to be able to say, saints of God, was your, oh, you know what? It's just so beautiful to be here. And I want to look around and say, oh, I remember you. You were visiting from Florida and then you went before we were even talking, you know, but that doesn't matter. And I want to be able to say, oh, I remember you. I remember when you were crying in church and then you prayed and God turned it around. And I'm going to say, oh, I remember you. You were thinking, Chuck, this church thing's not even for me. I'm not even going to bother come anymore. But actually, you stayed and you were just so happy to sing that song that only humans can sing. And I want to say, I remember you. You were thinking, I'm not even going to take communion because I am unworthy. But because of God's grace, it's sufficient for you and sufficient for me. It's sufficient and it's covered a multitude of sins. And so, saints, this is a faithful saying, a faithful one. It means you can trust in it. It's authentic. It's got the seal. It says, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that, you know, the advice that I've got from my older women and actually, and the advice that I can get in the Bible and the time that I spend with God, he's been showing me this week that I need to walk in accordance to his will and in the Spirit. And so my prayer for you is that you would be faithful to actually have those good works, to actually walk with God in accordance to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, so that you can have that wonderful, wonderful moment with God where he says, well done, my faithful servant. And so that we can show the world out there what it means to know Jesus Christ, to have him as Lord in your life, and to see that actually when he is really Lord in your life, it makes you different. And not to look at other people and accuse them and go, you. No. We want to say, child, when the earth is made new, you can't even imagine what God has prepared for you, that he wants to give you, that you, what you are going to inherit because of his goodness. So I thank you so much for listening to me. And I pray that, you know, anything that I've said, it hasn't caused an offense to you, because I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm only here to tell you what I've uncovered from reading the scriptures for myself, and I hope that it would resonate with you, that it would do something, that whilst you think about family month, whether you're a lone parent family, whether you're a single person at home, you are our family, whether you are newly married and you're thinking, child, this man gets on my nerves kind of family, you know, whether you are married for a long time thinking that, man, I don't even know why I bothered with this man. You know, I want you to know that actually when you are walking and talking with Jesus, if you maintain a good work, he will enable you and he will see you through. So thank you very much. God be with you. Amen.